Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, dear saints of God, and welcome to another weekly edition of the End Time News Report. You know who, the one and only Sister Marie. She's already in studio, and we're set to go. I just have a few announcements that we need to make. One is, We need to pray for two of our sisters. One is Sister Jennifer. She's asking, she's requesting prayer. So let's pray for Sister Jennifer. And also Sister Kay, one of our former hosts, is asking for prayer. She needs prayer. So let's pray for Sister Jennifer. Let's pray for Sister Kay. And Sister Kay's situation, it has to do with her health. It has to do with her breathing, her lungs. So let's pray for that. And Sister Jennifer is just saying pray for her. All right. So now the second announcement is that we have a Bible school. There's no registration fee. There's no tuition fee. Nothing underhanded. There's no underhanded offerings. No one's squeezing you for money. But if you want to learn about the church, if you want to learn about leadership, if you want to learn about how to defend the faith, how to contend for the faith, the International Institute of Biblical and Ministerial Studies is right up your alley. To register, to join, free of charge, all you have to do is send us an email at iibms2020@gmail.com. Again, iibms2020@gmail.com, and you will be registered. And once you register via email, then our registrar, Brother Miguel Rivera, will inform you and start sending you all the things necessary to go to school online. It's an online school. So take advantage of it, dear saints. Well, without any further ado, let me bring on my dear sister. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. And you?
Doing fantastic. It's nice and sunny out. The weather's going to be in the 70s today, tomorrow, the next day. So
yeah,
that puts me in a good mood. That, you know, I'm very happy when the weather's like that. And
me too.
And so it seems like the winter is behind us. We hope.
Possibly.
We hope.
For a week anyway. This week.
Yeah. Right.
We don't know.
Correct.
We don't know.
Absolutely. 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 So we have a show today, but you're going back to your old format, and tell us about what the show's about today.
Well, we're going to do the news. We're going to do some news. We need to play catch up. And, you know, we've put off the social justice thing for just a bit, because there's so much news going on, and some of it's weird, you know, some of it's interesting, but there's a lot of news, and I think we need to talk about it. So I'm not hearing it out there. So we're going to do it. That's it.
Okay. All right.
That's it.
Well,
so let me know when you want to get started.
Yeah, the social justice series was just phenomenal. And,
And,
you know, right now, you know, think about Major League Baseball that just took
mm-hmm.
away the All-Star game from the state of Georgia and the city of Atlanta.
Right.
All because of so-called voting, laws, new voting laws that suppress
mm-hmm.
people of minority from voting. And then they transferred the All-Star game to the state of Colorado. That's where
mm-hmm.
the voting laws in Colorado are stricter than the ones in Georgia.
Doesn't make sense, does it?
Doesn't make sense. But again, that social justice baloney is making its way
yep.
in every segment of society.
Absolutely. Everything. Literally
right.
everything. So, you know, that's a new norm that they keep
yep.
talking about. So,
yep.
you know, upside
crazy.
Down.
Crazy, crazy.
It is crazy.
Absolutely crazy.
Well, they keep putting that carrot out there and saying, if you do this, you know, this will happen. It never happens. They just keep it, you know, moving the carrot of the goalpost farther out. And
right.
it never gets done. So I guess we have to realize that somewhere down
mm-hmm.
the line.
Right, right.
Yeah, things are not going to be like they were. mm-hmm. before.
No,
you know?
Things are.
And these people are. These people are just puppets, these governors. So, you know, for a bigger picture, that's all they are.
Right.
They're puppets.
Absolutely. 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 So that's where
you know.
We are.
Mm-hmm.
All righty. So it's going to be news, 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 and more news. And
yes.
it's just going to be, you know, it's just going to be taking the news and matching it to biblical prophecy. Right.
Right.
All right.
Well, some of it, I'm not sure where it's at.
Okay.
So this, you know, call me weird, but I found this interesting. On Saturday, Egypt moved 22 royal mummies to a new museum in Cairo in
okay.
what they've called the Golden Parade. Now, this was an elaborate affair. You can watch it on YouTube. They moved 18 kings and 4 queens. The museum is called the National Museum of Egyptian Civilization. So since they've arrived there, they will undergo 15 days of laboratory restoration and then be placed in the Royal Mummies Hall.
Now, this
was a huge, massive, I'm talking massive celebration, dancing, music. I mean, you know, really high-tech celebration. However, the locals are not thrilled about this move. They fear that the curse of the pharaohs will be unleashed after the move. You know, they're in antagonism. So, in fact, before they moved them, when they heard that they were going to be moved, they blamed the Suez Canal chaos and two other disasters in Egypt on the pharaoh's curse, because they planned on moving the mummies. You know, they had a building collapse and a train accident. So this was really weird to me when I saw it. I thought, they're making such a big thing out of this. And if you remember, a while back we did a news story about Egypt where they were designing a computer program that would appear that the mummies actually speak.
Right.
And it would allow the mummies to tell their own story. I thought it was creepy then, and I think it's creepy now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, it was a creepy affair.
You know,
the people are frightened. They think, you know, they believe in all that, the curses of these mummies and all that kind of stuff. And yet they went ahead with this. And, I mean, we're talking elaborate. You can go on YouTube and watch it. It's elaborate.
Okay.
Just moving these mummies. And why?
Well, I mean,
go ahead.
Like you said, the story has to do with restoring the mummies because, you know, if those cloths or those mummified bodies are exposed to air, they start to break apart.
Mm-hmm.
So, that, you know, they're going to put rosin on them. They're gonna try to stick them together. Keep these mummies, you know, because that brings in a lot of money to the Egyptian nation, you know, tourism. Going to the museum and watching the mummies. So you would think that the mummies, that the pharaohs, the mummies would be happy and wouldn't be cursed. If, you know, if you're putting makeup on a mummy and you're making them look good, I don't think he would be mad and he would curse you and jack up the Suez Canal. I mean, that's just me, right? So, I mean, you know,
they have
Ramesses too.
They got
him.
Right.
Yeah. Sure.
I think number one is in London. I think he was at one
time. Right.
So, at one time, I don't know, you know, if he was on tour or what, but you know, but all
mm-hmm.
this use of manipulating their voices, you know, and this current use of holograms, you know, that can be used in a deceitful way.
Correct.
And since it's the Egyptian civilization, I mean, are they going to manipulate history? Because it seems to me that a while back, not long ago, they were taking down things, you know, associated with American history and history around the world. Are they manipulating and putting their own narrative on history? Will they do that in the future? I don't know.
It could be. Listen.
I just found it creepy.
Yeah, you know, and if you remember the old RKO movies, the monster movies, Frankenstein, Dracula, the Mummy, each one of those mummy movies, you know, there was a curse. You know,
yes.
If you open the Pharaoh's tomb, there was a curse. And in fact, Abbott and Costello, they have a movie called The Curse of the Mummy.
Yes, I saw that last week.
The Curse of the Mummy. So I'm a big Abbott and Costello fan. So mummies are always associated with curses. But I would think that if you're giving the mummy a facelift and restoring the mummy and making the mummy look good, I think the mummy would be happy and not curse you.
Yeah, you would think so, but logically. Thinking logically, they believe this, but it just shows that there's so many people fall for these things nowadays. They're believing all this craziness, but they were fearful, and he went on with it. I mean, it was just so elaborate. I couldn't believe it. It was like, almost like when they do the Olympics, the celebration. It was like that.
Right.
Over this, and the people are like scared to death.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh, terrible. Okay, that's our first story. I'm weird, but I found that weird. I saw it on my news feed, and I started watching, and I thought, what is this? So I did a little research on it, and I thought, wow, this is crazy. Okay, we have an audio one, and I have to explain this. They're trying in the UK to ban over 70s from driving, if they have just health conditions, and they want car trackers. So they have some new restrictions that are being pushed in the UK. And these restrictions have nothing to do with COVID, okay?
Right.
But if they can get away with stepping on your human rights, they'll continue to do so. All the options for controlling people and everything are now open, especially in the UK. So this is really weird. And forgive our friend here if he does use English swear words, because I forget. I upload these things. I hear them. I upload. So he might, but he might not. But they aren't bad words,
Right.
So. He might use the word dung in a different way.
Yeah.
Or in the English way, so I don't know. But the tapes, the clips that he gets and the things he talks about are interesting. And I found him 100% right on in everything he says. He's ahead of things. And I like that about him. So if we could listen, it's only 3 minutes and 19 seconds. Let's listen what they're doing to the poor English seniors over there.
All right. Let's listen. And to think that I wanted to go live over there. To think. Wow.
Forget it. Well, you wouldn't be grounded. We wouldn't be grounded yet.
Right. But I'd be close. I would be close.
Yeah, close enough.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here's more.
Hello, you're listening to Hugo Talks. Here's an interesting one, which passed me by last week. I didn't see this. Over 70s could be banned from driving at night under new proposals. You see, you give away your freedom. You keep on complying, and now, look, they want to take away more from you. It says here, this originally was from the Times. Motorists aged 70 and over in poor health may be restricted to driving in daylight hours only. They may also be ordered to stay near to home with their cars fitted with trackers to ensure they comply. So grandma and granddad gonna have their cars fitted with trackers, make sure they don't travel too far. And this has nothing to do with lockdown. This is something else completely. It says here, under proposals discussed between the DVLA and Driving Mobility, a network of test centers over 70s who could otherwise lose their license because of ill health could be eligible for graduated driving licenses. These would restrict them to a radius of 20 or 30 miles from home and ban them from nighttime driving. Edmund King, president of the AA, criticized the possible plan, warning it could lead to loneliness, and called on the medical profession to report drivers to the DVLA. They are there to save lives, and what better way to save lives than to prevent someone who you know is capable of killing through their own medical condition, he said. So, by the looks of this, it's yet another leak to prime the public. It's saying if you're over 70 and have a health condition, and let's face it, people over 70, they usually have some kind of medication or another from the doctors, right? Doctors, they can't wait to give older people medication. I mean, who doesn't have a grandma who isn't lumbered with like 7 to 9 pills that they have to take? Seems to be the way these days. If you're over 70 and have a health condition, they want to propose a law that bans you now from driving at night and states you can only drive 20 to 30 miles from your home during the day. And they want to put a tracker on your car to make sure you don't break those rules. And why? Because if you're over 70, they think you're a danger to others on the road. Or maybe they think you want to escape, huh? The local area. No chance of running away now. Hey, tracker on the car, what the hell? There you go. Welcome to dystopia. This is what you get for obeying and complying. They now think they can introduce all sorts of nonsense like this and everyone will just accept it. Yeah, that's no problem. Like the good little obedient sheep a lot out there seemingly are. Don't say I didn't warn you. As always, thanks for listening. Come and subscribe to the tribe at hugotalks.com, slowly building a network of like-minded souls. People who live in the real world and not the fantasy world that the mainstream media zombies live in. See you later.
Yeah, Hugo's on the money there. He's on the money.
Yes, he is. Okay, I would like to know what constitutes poor health. They're not saying, you know. That could mean anything, over 70. And
yeah,
you think about it, you know.
They're going to determine that. Listen, if you have a certain, let's say you wear certain kind of glasses. Let's say your glasses look
mm-hmm.
like soda bottles, right? Thick.
Right.
Guess what? You're on that
soda
list.
Soda bottles?
Yeah. If you have diabetes, you're going to
yeah.
be on that list.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to look
oh,
for
yeah.
all kinds of ways. If you have two
put
or three of those medical you. Conditions, you're going to be on that list. But the good thing for
yep.
me is, you see, if they say to me, hey, Dad, can you go run and get a pizza? No. they took
that.
My license. They took, no. Hold on.
Nope.
Hold
can't
on.
Do.
Hold on.
Okay.
Let me just play this song. I'm getting a very important call here. I'm
okay.
waiting for a, hold on 1 minute.
That's fine.
All right. Living in the old
sorry about that, Saints. You know, I do Christian counseling, and I was dealing with a pretty tough situation. I was not expecting the call, you know, but it came. So sorry about that. This never happens on any of these shows.
No, it hasn't, and that's fine.
And this is a tough, you know, situation.
Yeah.
There. So.
Yeah.
All right. So back to business.
Yeah. Well, you know, in the English driver's license years ago, let me tell you,
right.
It's extremely difficult to get one. Okay. But once you got it, it was good until you were 70 years old, unless you had glaucoma or other problems.
Right.
So when you got your driver's license, it was good until you're 70, you know.
Right,
I mean,
right.
My husband still got his valid English driver's license, you know.
Wow.
Still valid.
Wow.
So,
right.
But I'm not sure about what they're doing right now, but I know they were thinking about copying the U.S. and renewing it every 4 years. But I do know that the rental car companies, won't allow you to rent a vehicle in the U.K. if you're over 70. So it's amazing.
Wow.
It's like that's
wow.
the
that's
cutoff.
Age, that's age that, discrimination.
It is. It
yeah.
is.
Now, why yeah. is it hard to get a driver's license over there?
Because of it's so difficult to drive over there. It's the hardest place in the world to drive.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why. Because you have, well, over here now they're getting roundabouts, you know.
Right.
And
right.
you have roundabouts. Sometimes, you know, you have roundabouts that are like four lane, five
right.
lane roundabouts.
Mm-hmm,
they
mm-hmm.
don't know how to use them, you know, over here
right.
as much. Not only that, you have to know you can park either way on the street over there. And, you know, the
mm-hmm.
streets are really narrow. They're only one lane
Correct.
Highways
Correct.
For two cars. So
mm-hmm.
you can park in either direction. You're driving on the other side of the road, you know. That means your mirror is set totally different. Totally, it's difficult because you have to make way. When you're driving, let's say I'm in town and I'm driving over there, if I see a bus coming at me or another car coming at me, I have to find a spot and pull over and let them pass because the road's not wide enough.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
it's tricky driving. It's really
right,
tricky.
Right.
And they drive bumper to bumper
right,
over
right.
there.
Right.
70 miles an hour, 80 miles an hour, bumper to bumper. So
right.
it's not easy. But this is the funny part. If you have a U.S. driver's license, you can go over there and get in a car, rent a car, and just drive. And you're taking your life in your hands. I'm telling
Listen.
You, if you have no idea.
Listen, I was there, several times.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, those roundabouts are dangerous. And
yes.
not only are those roundabouts dangerous, but, you know, the driver's on the other side. So I'm like, I'm confused because,
mm-hmm.
you know, wait a minute. You're supposed
yeah.
to be on the left side. You're on the right side. The mirrors are different. You're used
mm-hmm.
to looking at the mirrors in a different way. And
mm-hmm.
every time
yes.
I went with one of my friends in their car, I was like holding on for dear life because I'm saying these people are just, you know,
yeah.
it's just crazy the way the driving is like you said, from Heathrow over to Reading, we were on a
yes.
highway and people were going 90. I'm saying 90
yes.
in little compact cars, you know, with the stick shift, right?
Yes, exactly.
You know, and I'm saying,
yeah.
you got, why are you going 90? This is a little car. It's if we get hit, I'm dead. Relax.
Yes.
No, they're you know, but they're going the flow of traffic now. Remember, everybody's going
yeah.
according to the flow of traffic. There's no one going
right.
60.
That's right. That's right.
Right.
That's why they have 30 car pileups over there.
yeah.
They have an accident. But, you know, and you also have motorcycles pulling out. So, you know, my advice, we had friends from here who were going over there that wanted to know where to stay. So I contacted my best friend over there, and we made arrangements for these people to stay with them, you know, while they were over there. He said, what about the driving? I said, you know, I would almost recommend you don't drive. If you've never driven, to go over there and get in the car and try to drive, it's you have to know all the laws, the limits. You have to make way for people. I mean, you know, the odds of you getting hit the first time you drive over there are pretty good, you know, unless you know what you're doing. So it's difficult. It takes a long time to get a license. You have to have a lot of training. It's not like over here, when you turn 18, you can go down and take a test and driver's test and get a license. No. Over there, everyone has to have it's costly too. You know, they have to put in a lot of time to get a license. So it's not easy. And that's why you find that in the UK, they utilize public transport so much.
Right.
Because most people say it's expensive to own a car there. Gasoline is, you know, petrol is expensive. You know, to maintain a car, you have to have it maintained every year, stickers on it. It's parking a car, it's all difficult. So a lot of people just use public transport over there.
Right.
You know, rather than drive, because you can go anywhere over there in public transport.
Sure.
Absolutely.
However, you got the double decker buses. You got the the underground.
The trains.
Yeah.
So you have everything over there, you know, to get you from point A to point B. But of course, there's people who, you know, don't want to use that. And I'm finding that the younger people now are more eager to drive than they were, you know, than the generation before.
Sure.
They want to get on the road. But there are some people that need to be off the road over there. You know, I mean, honestly.
Sure.
You're on the road. Sure. And that's why I always say, I think that I would, of all the people in the world, now I've driven in the UK, obviously. I drive over there, but of all the people that I would drive with or, you know, trust the most over there is my husband.
Right.
Because, you know, it's just like, you know, he just gets in that mode and just drives in that mode. And, you know, he knows all the ins and outs and, you know, everything about it. So I have to think after, you know, being over here.
If that law comes into effect here, we need milk. Oh, I can't go. I'm 70.
take the order.
You know. Yeah, we need pizza. Oh, I can't go. I'm 71.
Sorry.
You know,
That's right.
Wow.
But 20 miles, what if your parents live 25? What if your parents live 35 miles away from you and they can't drive to see you?
It's
crazy. And, you know, it is crazy. But
not
you
only
see
that,
control.
But not only that, but think about how many elderly people because look, not everyone can retire at 70.
Right.
Right? Some people are still working at 70. I remember I was a security guard, right? One of my first jobs in New York City was a security guard. Yeah, in New York City.
Oh my gosh.
One of my first was a security guard. Right? But well, it's called night watchman.
Yeah.
And they sent me to this construction site, and what I had to do was every hour on the hour I had to make the rounds on the construction site, and they had these clocks on the wall, and you had to they would give you a pin, and you would stick your pin, your personal pin, in the clock and twist it, and that's how they knew. See, that's how you got paid. You couldn't say I made all my rounds. It was a college campus, They were doing construction. They were adding dorms and rooms to the college campus. So I was hired as a night watchman. And so every hour you would have to walk the site. It was long. It was a long walk. And you took your personal clock pin, you put it in there, and you twisted it in the clock, and that marked the time mm-hmm. that you were there.
Right.
Because if you're a night watchman, you have to make the rounds on the whole property, make sure people aren't stealing equipment or
correct.
You know, and all you had to do is if anybody was there, all you had to do was just call the police. You weren't there to
right.
arrest anybody. You weren't there to stop a robbery. You were just there to watch, and if you saw something, just call it in. That's all you would. But
wow.
but you know you had to. Okay. And I remember this first job. I was working with a guy. He was 86 years old. He and he would say to me,
"You're psychic."
Right. He would say to me, "It's too cold to make the rounds." So I said, "Give me your pin. I'll go make the." And listen, he never walked. I took his pin. And you know, I would use it, put it in the clock, twist it, and the guy was getting paid, and he was 86 years old. I'm saying, what are you doing working? He says, I have to work.
Yeah,
I have to work. 86.
Yeah.
I mean, couldn't the government give him a break on Social Security? Give him come
exactly.
on.
Exactly. You would think
86.
So.
Please. So, 86. No, everybody can retire at 70. My sidekick. I think I was 17 and a half or 18. I was just a young kid right out of school.
Now somebody'd have to carry your pen in, Blackie.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah.
So,
wow, that
no,
is.
Yeah. Well, it's time to get horse and buggy, because they're not going to
yeah.
put trackers on horse and buggy.
You know, people are getting four-wheelers everywhere,
yeah.
you know.
But even
so,
that
I
here, see, even with four-wheelers here in this little
mm-hmm.
hamlet that I live in, the police are getting stupid about you having a four-wheeler.
Hmm.
So everything is coming under, you know, everything is
scrutiny.
Coming. Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Everything. Everything.
Wow. Scary.
Everything. Sure.
Scary.
Sure.
Oh, boy. Well, we'll leave the seniors, geriatric people. We'll leave them. That's what they're called over there. So, okay, if there's one person that we've warned about for years, it's the Narapostle Rick Joyner. Why? Because his teachings and ideas are dangerous, and he promotes civil unrest. Now, we need to remember he's a member of the Knights of Malta, and that's a Roman Catholic organization. He and other undercover Catholics have come into the church and turned away many young people from the truth, and he's introduced all kinds of myths and crazy stuff.
Right,
now, his
right.
Jesuit connection should make people sit up and take notice.
Mm-hmm.
That is the main problem with him, the Jesuits, I'm telling you. His In the
sure.
book, The Final Quest, we know that's about war. And
right.
his gospel is political activism, and he's extremely right-wing. Now, I have an audio of Rick, just a short one. And you need to read between the lines with this guy. They have training camps. They do drills. They use code words to communicate. Now, I tried playing the audio that he had on this,
mm-hmm.
and YouTube has throttled him, cut him, you know, deleted
right.
some parts and everything, so
right,
I couldn't
right.
do it. So we're only going to play 55 seconds of this clip, and it's Rick Joyner says a war is coming. Just 0 to 55 seconds is all we need.
Okay. All right. Here it is.
About the Knights of Malta and the Jesuit order, Now, I've been warning you folks about the Knights of Malta and the Jesuit order that is within the Catholic Church, within the Vatican. And I've been warning you about Rick Joyner and how that he has an agenda to bring the charismatic church under the Roman Empire. And now we have Rick Joyner admitting this. He came right out and admitted that he is Knights of Malta, and that he admits that General Boykin is also, I believe he said, second in control or in command or something within the organization. And Rick Joyner passes it off as though it's a good thing. And I'm going to play this audio for you so you can hear his own confession to this. But he makes the people believe that it's a good thing. And he even invites people to join the Knights of Malta. Can you believe it? Now, I don't see any...
Wow. Wow.
Are you playing Are you playing audio clip 2 or 3? Does that say number 3 or 2?
Oh, okay. Hold on. I am so sorry.
That's okay. That's okay. Audio 2 will go.
Okay. Here's audio clip 2.
55 seconds.
Okay. Here it is.
55 seconds. Okay.
So you may have seen where... This rant, my rant, has been covered on, I think, Newsweek and MSN, other outlets, because they think I'm inciting people to civil war. I've been warning about the coming civil war, actually, since 1987. You know, that's a long time. That's 33 years. And, you know, after I had that dream in 2018, when I was shown in the dream, it's now inevitable, and it's time to prepare for it. But anyway, you read those articles and those media outlets, they twist things pretty bad. There's free advertising, cause more people to watch this and other things we put out.
Okay, so that's the correct clip. And,
and what he's saying there is he said, I wanted to get him saying that himself is why I used that clip. He's talking, mm-hmm. I've been warning since the 80s the Civil War is coming. Well, he's the one promoting this stuff, and that's out of his own mouth, and that's
correct.
Why we played that clip. So
mm-hmm.
I just wanted the listeners to hear him say it himself. Now,
right.
In his original audio on that, he said, before we think about physical violence, we should try this and that. So he knows the plan, and he doesn't dare say. Rick never says what he really means, you know?
Sure.
He kind of speaks in code.
Right.
So I have this other audio that we just started here. And this guy's a little long-winded, but he makes a good point. You know, about him being the Knights of Malta and everything. And he has the clip that I want. So
okay.
We're going to play this. We'll start with 0 again, and we'll play
okay.
this to 11:05.
All right. Now, do I stop it anywhere in between, or?
If you feel like stopping it in between, go ahead. But otherwise, we can play it, you know, through
okay.
to 11:05. But if you see something you want to talk about, go ahead.
All right, here it is.
Now, I've been warning you folks about the Knights of Malta and the Jesuit order that is within the Catholic Church, within the Vatican. And I've been warning you about Rick Joyner and how that he has an agenda to bring the charismatic church under the Roman Empire. And now we have Rick Joyner admitting this. He came right in, he came right out and admitted that he is Knights of Malta, and that he admits that General Boykin is also, I believe he said, second in control or in command or something within the organization. And Rick Joyner passes it off as though it's a good thing. And I'm going to play this audio for you so you can hear his own confession to this. But he makes the people believe that it's a good thing. And he even invites people to join the Knights of Malta. Can you believe it? Now, I don't see any place in the Bible, not one place where Jesus Christ says to join secret orders. Do you? Do you know of any places where Jesus tells us to join secret orders? I don't know anything about that. But I do see places where Jesus tells us, because of the traditions of men, they make the word of God of none effect. Amen. And the Bible says to come out from among them and be separate and touch not the unclean thing.
Yeah, my approach or my reason for not joining the Knights of Malta would be, or for not joining the Jesuits would be, one, it's connected to Rome, right?
Yes.
That's one. It's anything connected with the Roman Catholic Church, I want nothing to do with it. Nothing.
Correct.
Nothing. Right? There are events held in the past. There were, and I'm using air quotes, there were church events held in the past where if I knew that there was Roman Catholic involvement, if there was going to be a Roman Catholic priest there, I would say I'm not going.
Right.
Only because I
exactly.
don't want to be on the same platform, same stage, or have my name
yep.
put on any kind of advertisement and with a picture with a Roman Catholic priest. That's one. Two, the Roman Catholic Church and the Jesuits are a militant organization. They spill blood. Right? They spill
yes.
blood. We Christians are supposed to be peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, right? Blessed are the...
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to... Jesus never told us to take up arms.
That's right.
When they came to arrest Jesus and Peter took out his sword and cut off a guy's ear, Jesus miraculously reattached it. But Jesus said to
That's
Peter,
correct.
Those who take the sword perish by the sword. So we're not to take up swords. We're not
yes.
supposed to take up weapons. We're not supposed to be declaring war. We can declare war on false doctrine. This is what we do here every week, right? This is what you do. This is what I do. This is what Sister AJ does. We declare war on false doctrine. But
correct.
nobody is saying, okay, now we're gonna meet. We're gonna travel down to North Carolina. And when we get to Rick Joyner's compound, don't forget, we're going to assassinate him. No, that's not. We're not into that. We're not into that.
Exactly.
No Christian. No.
Exactly.
So based on the fact that they're connected to Rome and based on the fact that they're into spilling blood, those right there, cancel them out.
You remember when I read said that I saw the original video that was cut, he said, before we think about physical violence. So that's on the list.
Right,
see.
Right.
It's on
right,
their list.
Right.
And one of the things, yeah, if you're connected with Rome, forget it. Because then people say, okay, true Christians, they'll disown you.
Right.
In a heartbeat.
Correct. Correct.
But, we have to remember, we once did the Jesuit oath. And their mission is to wipe out Christians. That's what the war is at the end of the day.
Right. Right.
And it's to take out Christians, Christianity. That's what they want to eliminate. So when you speak of the Knights of Malta, their mission, they are knights that fight.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly
right.
what they have planned. So it's the scariest probably thing I've ever saw was their oath, what they would like to do and plan on doing.
Right.
So that's what makes him, one of the things that makes him as dangerous as he is. So, okay.
Right. Okay, perfect.
The Knights of Malta being connected and interconnected with the Jesuits, if you read the oath of the Jesuit, in their oath they actually say that they will infiltrate every religious organization, every government. They will infiltrate. And they said, if we cannot come in peaceably, where the people will accept us and they won't fight against us, then we will by force. And they said they're willing to lie. Lying's nothing because of the greater good. They believe that their cause is a greater accomplishment, that lying is fine because you're doing some, you know, the reason you're lying is for a greater good. Now, what does the Bible say about liars? All liars will what? Have their part in the lake of fire? No, you can't lie and go to heaven. Amen. You can't lie and go to heaven. You can't be of the truth and be lying to people. You can't stretch the truth, folks. There's no such thing as white lies and black lies and little lies. No. If it's not the truth, it'll keep you out. It will keep you out of God's kingdom. Period. The Bible says they bend their tongues and they learn, they teach their tongues to lie. They literally teach themselves to lie. But I want to play this audio for you so you can hear Rick Joyner admit this himself. If you know anybody that is involved in Rick Joyner's ministry or follows him on the internet, or I would strongly encourage you to get this message to them. Now, folks, you need to do your own research. You need to find out for yourself. Rick Joyner tells us in this confession that the reason why he's admitting that he's a Knights of Malta is because he says he sees a lot of people on the internet that are trying to demonize him. And so this is another tactic of theirs. This is how they play things down, okay? It's the same thing what Obama's doing right now. He's playing down the fact that job growth in the United States is at an all-time low, but yet he tells the people it's at an all-time high. So that's what they do. They play down the truth. They play it down. So I'm going to play that for you right now, and then we'll come back.
There's some starting to speak clearly. We desperately need that in these times. You know, one of the things I've been the most attacked for is being a part of being a knight of the Knights of Malta, the Order of St. John, which I am one. I'm very proud to be. I was, and now a lot of stuff you read on the internet about it is some of the craziest stuff I've ever heard. Not true, you know, but I kind of liked it being out there because it gets rid of all the paranoid people, and we don't need paranoid people around us. It gets rid of people who are prone to deception and all, and we don't need them around us. These knights, which it's a 900-year-old order, total Christian order, all the vows are Christian. No secret stuff going on whatsoever. Everything's done right out front. It has an ultimate purpose of defending Christian unity, defending the faith, and to refusing to retreat before the enemies of the cross. Now, I accepted, I was knighted by this group because I didn't even know they existed. I was studying history. I ran upon their history. I said, this is the most incredible history, one of the most incredible histories of a courageous people I had found outside of the scriptures. Their story, when just a handful of knights, I mean just sometimes outnumbered 100-1, stood against the greatest, most powerful armies of Islam, and they held their ground, and they pushed them back. And even Queen Elizabeth said that if it not, had not been for those few knights that nobody believed in, nobody trusted, nobody thought they had a chance to win, wouldn't send them reinforcements, wouldn't send them materials or supplies because they didn't think they had a chance. But she said if it hadn't... you've met him and heard Nicholas Papanicolaou. He's now the head of the Knights of Malta. But he changed the order, changed just one phrase in the vow where it was, you know, it's all about defending Christ and Christian unity and all these things. But in the vow, it was, you will, you know, vow allegiance to the order. He changed that word order to Christ. Just so this is, you're not vowing to anything for men. It's to Christ. But for sure, but also, here's another thing Nicholas has done. He has knighted a woman. We now have women knights in the Order of St. John. Yeah. And we're looking for the real warriors. We're looking for the warriors, and many of God's greatest warriors in these times, just as was prophesied in the garden, the ones who's going to crush the head of the serpent. So we're looking for women to be knighted in this ceremony. And not only that, but it's not about that. It's not about, you don't have to be a knight of Malta to be a knight of the cross, a knight of the Holy Spirit. That's just one thing that I think is being used in a very powerful way. It's, I think it could again. I mean, the potential, what is going on in Europe, who is being raised up in Europe, it could be this small little order does again what it did before in the spirit. But this time, all it takes is truth to cast out the darkness. The illumination of the truth will break the power of that darkness. And there are some courageous people rising up that I believe are going to stand against the great evil of our time. And one of the things we want to do, though, we're process. We, if you feel like this is something you may want to be a part of, we've got a table right back here set up. You can sign up. You just, you know, don't make a commitment now. It took me months to pray over this thing. It took me a long time personally. I really searched it out, its history, and found all the weird ones and who's the right one. I really went through all that myself. Before I would join anything, even though my name's Joiner, I don't join things easily. I wanted to be sure it was the Lord. I heard it was the Lord. I want to be sure this is the right one, this is the true one, and all that. I did that searching, and I appreciate people that search things in depth. And all. But if you're interested, want to get some information about it, there's a table over here where you can sign up. We'd love to, nothing else, have you at the investiture to see what goes on the vows and all. It is a powerful, powerful ceremony. General Jerry Boykin is now the number two guy in that thing. And there's some other people that, you know, Kamal Saleem, who the PLO terrorist. When Jerry Boykin was chasing for 10 years.
Wow, what a nut.
I know. You know, so they changed the word order to Christ, and it becomes a Christian organization. This is what he's telling you. You know,
right.
You know, the crushing of the serpent is actually in the Jesuits, that symbolizes crushing the head of the serpent. We know biblically, you know, about that, but in the Jesuit organization, that symbolizes what they want to do to Christians when they have the Bible underneath it. You know, you can find statues where they have someone holding the Bible and they're crushing the head. I have seen that myself, those actual statues. And it makes you wonder, you know, what they're doing. And if they're so upfront, you might remember I mentioned a news article recently where the Catholic Church or Jesuit order were committing $100 million for reparations. Why? For buying and selling and enslavement of black people. In fact, the article states that the foundation is rooted in the events of 1838 when 272 enslaved men, women, and children were sold by the Jesuit owners of Georgetown University to plantation owners in Louisiana. Yeah. Really
wow.
Christian, right?
Yeah, sure. Sure.
Yep. I saw that, you know, a few weeks ago. I saw that and I thought, yeah, well, it just shows you what they're about. They aren't open. They're evil. In fact, we're going to talk about Rick's children have made statements. All of Rick's, Rick has five children. They're all liberals.
Okay.
They're all liberals who Rick suggests are allies of the devil. All his kids voted Democrat. Okay. Number one, his one kid, is a climate change activist. She says he's calling people up, calling people to take up arms against liberals and activists. She said, that's me. She feels his far-right rhetoric may get people killed. That's his own daughter, his own child, okay?
Right.
That's one child's statement. Another child said, who is a ceramic artist says, he's causing harm, in my view, and he's being incredibly irresponsible. That's child number two. Child number three is a filmmaker who thinks what he does is morally wrong but still loves him. He states, I don't want to hurt him, but when he's spreading dangerous ideas, this is his own children.
Right.
The next child is a musician, and they and he says, or she says, I'm not sure, I didn't write down what gender this one was, but the statement was made is there is a responsibility to hold those you love accountable, right? That's another child. Another child is a farmer florist who said she is disappointed by what her father says, but I'm not willing to sacrifice my relationship with him to call him out. Now, that's the peacemaker of the family. He has one who's a peacemaker, you know. And the last one says, her father's rhetoric has become more extreme in recent years. She fell out with him when she became a Democrat. He cut off her college funding. They reconciled when she almost died in a boating accident. Okay, his kids are not affiliated with any born-again Christian church. In fact, this one describes herself as an Episcopalian, Buddhist, pantheist, and agnostic. And the one daughter said, is it okay to just talk about movie and dogs with someone who is trying to incite civil war? I don't know.
Wow.
Those are statements from his own children. So we know the real war he's inciting is one between Bible-believing Christians and those who won't accept him as an apostle and these, you know, crazy costals who have drank the Kool-Aid, you know.
Right.
So you have to think about this. If his own, if five of his children are concerned about him, you should be also. That's my point with Rick.
Right.
You know, if they're that concerned about him, his own children, there's not one who said a positive thing, and there was only one who, you know, wants to keep peace in the family. But she knows he's wrong. She knows his rhetoric is dangerous. Mm-hmm, and another thing about Rick, and it's unlike like most of these Nar apostles, you know, most of the Nar apostles, they know full well that they're con artists. They know that, you know.
And
they
know
they're playing a game. And we know it.
Yep.
But Rick truly believes that he's called by God to clean up the world. Now, this is the type that the Bible states will kill you and think that they're doing God a favor. That is Rick Joyner. So that's, to me, what makes him dangerous, more dangerous than the cons. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's a great point that you make because, see, he's conned the con men, right? He's really a Jesuit. Knight of Columbus, Knight of Malta, right? And Knight of Columbus, Knight of Satan, Knight of Joseph.
Yeah.
He's a knight, you know, he's a Knight of Francis.
Yeah.
He's a knight of everything. So here's a guy who has infiltrated. He's even infiltrated the NAR. He's got the NAR believing he's an apostle. And then listen, we know the NAR people are con artists, but this guy has a demonic agenda.
Yes.
See, he's different.
Yes.
He's cut from a different cloth. He's cut from the Roman Catholic cloth.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So, you know, that's the thing that it always bothered me about him more than the others. The others, you know, they're con artists. They get caught. You know, you don't read anything about Rick, you know, doing this and doing that very often other than his, you know, sticking up for Bentley. You know, you don't see a lot of things about Rick, and why? Because he's careful. He's sneaky. And he honestly believes that he's called to war. You know, he thinks he's doing a good service in his own heart. I mean, we don't know his heart, of course, but in everything he does and everything he does, he fully believes that this is his calling to do this. Dangerous, dangerous man is all I have to say.
Here's the thing, you know, if I could just quickly say this.
Yes, of course.
You know, if you look at the book of Revelation, the 12th chapter and the 13th chapter, all of God's children, for those of us who are around, we're going to, the Antichrist is going to do his best to just wipe us all out. Rick,
correct.
You don't win. The true people of God, it says here, and to the beast was given power to make war against the saints of God and to prevail against them.
Yes.
To prevail.
Exactly.
God in his sovereignty allows the Antichrist to wipe out the Christian community. God in
his
sovereignty. So if you follow Rick Joyner and you think you're defending the cause of God, he's working for the Antichrist.
That's correct. Yeah.
No, this guy is crazy.
And you remember all this agenda and all these things. We're told that Satan, you know, one of the things the Antichrist does is he wears out the saints of the Most High. That's his job. To try to wear us out, you know.
Right.
That's his job description. And I'll tell you, with all these agendas going on, you think, wow, that's easy to see, you know.
Sure. Look, if the pastor of the local church, if the pulpit donkey in your local church is wiping out the saints, because think about it, church folk don't have a say in their church. Their donkey pastor does. He's the one with the ultimate authority. So if you don't have a say in your church with your donkey pastor, you think you're going to tell the Antichrist what to do? Please, give me a break.
Really? No kidding.
Yeah.
No kidding. Well, bro, I want you to make sense of this for me. Now, this was the headline of an article. It says, Democrat Tammy Duckworth says it's racist to save black babies from abortion. Now, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life, but I had to mention it because it's just that crazy.
Right.
And listen, I don't want to beat up
call
on her too much.
Call me a racist, then.
Yeah, I don't want to beat up on her too much because she's a, you know, she's a military veteran. She lost her legs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, she's got no legs. They blew them off, right?
Yes. Yep.
But I think along with the legs, I think some of her brain cells were also blown up because it's just asinine what she's saying.
Yep. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to keep telling all mothers to protect their babies, regardless of what this woman says. Children are a gift from God.
Listen,
you know?
Listen,
so
listen.
I don't, you know, to me when I read that, it's like, this is crazy. I'm going to speak up no matter what. For babies, all babies.
On a farm, right now we're in springtime, yep. Right? I remember when I had my farm and it was springtime, sheep were being born. The cutest little cutest little sheep.
I know.
You know,
I know,
little goats were being born, right? This is spring.
Yeah.
This is when things are born. And as a farmer, you dote on those little babies.
Yeah.
You protect them, you watch over them, you make sure that the predators don't get to them. You know, those are just animals. Can you imagine a human being? My goodness.
Oh, I know. Oh, it's just sad. So, you know, I love babies and I love all babies, you know. You can all bring your babies to my house for the day. Although it's challenging. I have days I'm exhausted if I have one, chasing around a baby. But, you know. You know, and sometimes they're challenging. We know that, kids. You know, my daughter was telling me something I needed to do the other day, and I said to her, I just don't know how I ever managed to survive before you came along. Because she's constantly saying, you need to do that. You need to do that. You probably need to do this, you know? I said, I just don't know how I ever survived. You'll be in for that soon. I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
They grow a little older if you're not getting it now already.
Yeah.
But,
well,
you know.
Listen. Yeah, don't bring any babies over here. I'm worn out by my four teenagers. I'm worn out. Don't bring any babies here.
That's the start. You think you got them right there, and then you get the grandbaby. That's the surprise. God has a store for you.
Well, by that time, they would take away my license. My grandpa license, and that's that. So,
I can see.
Yeah.
Oh, I hope you get one. I hope you get one just like you.
Yeah. Grandpa, can you get me some ice cream? No, they took my license. Grandpa, can you get me some pizza? No, they took my license. Go to your grandmother. Go to grandma.
No, your grandchild would say, why did some jackass take your license?
Right. Exactly.
I can hear it now.
Right.
Oh, you're going to have a laugh at your house because you're going to say, where did that kid learn that stuff?
Exactly.
From you. Oh, yeah. I'm writing a book.
Mm-hmm. Right.
All right. No new show would be complete, I don't think, without a new spirit showing up. In Jennifer LeClaire's life, we know that. Now, she has all these crazy spirits chasing her, and she'll have them chasing you, too, if you're a pandemonist.
Wow.
Let's just talk about a few of her spirits. She had the merman spirit, the octopus spirit, the sneaky squid spirit, the water spirits, spirit of Jezebel, Bible-blocking spirit, spirit of death, spirit of control, orphan spirit, that's just to name a few. Now, only Jennifer has the personal knowledge to help you get rid of these spirits. That's classic Gnosticism, by the way.
Right.
So now she's discovered that she has a few more spirits that could be after you. Now, one is the bad hair day spirit, and the new... She has a new one. It's called the Wild Ass Spirit. Now, I think you have that, by the way. Sorry. Her description description of it could be you. This could be you. So I'm going to tell you right now, though, one of the things this audio did is, you know, I found out that she's not as crazy as we thought. She's using these crazy teachings on spirits to manipulate you. You know, the wild ass spirit with this one is about gaining control. So you,
right.
She would call you, she, if she heard one of your audios, she would say, you're a wild ass spirit. You,
right,
that's
right,
a wild
right.
ass
yeah.
spirit. I can hardly get through that when it comes through. Okay. And this is, but the serious part of this is exactly how cults finally get control over a person's life. You know, they get a person to submit to them totally, not to Christ,
right.
to them. And if you even question them, it's an act of defiance. So in this, in audio four, we're going to look at the cult of Jennifer LeClaire's hair spirits and wild spirits. And thank goodness it's only 3 minutes and 10 seconds. Now, keep in mind, she's a senior leader in this crazy ministry. Okay?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Let's see if we can get through this.
Sure.
Renounce the wild ass spirit. I renounce and repent for operating in a wild ass spirit in my church. I renounce anti-submissiveness, rejection of authority, untamed spirits, spirits of restraint, and other spirits that influence me to buck and fight against leadership. Forgive me, Lord, for wanting my own way, refusing to yield to the leaders that you have put in my life, and causing confusion. In Jesus' name, I speak to the wild-ass spirit, spirit of chaos, foolhardy spirits, impetuous spirits, reckless spirits, self-willed spirits, unbridled spirits, and wayward spirits, and I command you to loose me in the name of Jesus. I cast you out in the name of the Lord. Teach me, Lord, how to submit to your spirit and to the leaders you have put in my life to oversee my soul, in Jesus' name.
Wow. I know what's going to show up at her house tomorrow. It's the straitjacket spirit. That's the spirit. It's the straitjacket spirit. Yeah. That's what's showing up tomorrow. Wow.
That little coat that ties in the back.
Wow.
Well, first of all, if you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, it's impossible to have other spirits inside of you because you're sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. Now,
right.
That is in the video. I mean, that's simple. But in 1 Timothy 4:1 in the NIV, it says, the Spirit clearly says that in the latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. You know, I'm not sure that Jennifer was ever in the faith to begin with, but I can tell you this is a warning for people following her. You know, we know that the latter times is a time of the Christian dispensation, you know, and these are the latter times, by the way. The teachers of doctrines of demons pretend to have the Holy Spirit, but in no way are they guided by the Holy Spirit. They're just, as you reported, they just parrot demons. That's what they do. And so you're teaching on that. That's fantastic. So their doctrines seem to always go back to the same things that the pagans worship. So if you move, you know, towards them, or, you know, you're moving away from the truth and going into paganism. I mean, honestly, it's crazy, crazy. You're getting, she has these crazy things. I mean, you know, what can you say about her? But you know what? I realized when she was speaking, she's not crazy. It sounds crazy what she's doing, but trust me, she's not crazy. She's gaining control. She's learning control. And, you know, she said anti-submissiveness. She wants you to submit to her, not to Christ. Anti-rejection of authority. Submit to her authority.
Right.
Not the leading of the Holy Spirit. Untamed spirits. She wants to control you. Spirits of restraint, she said. That means you follow her, not the Bible, you know, and any stupid teaching that she has that you know is wrong, you must accept. The spirits of buck and fight against leadership. That means, you know, don't even think about correcting her.
Mm-hmm.
So these NAR apostles, you know, want complete authority over you. And what she's doing here is she's asking you to repent for not submitting to her at the end of the day.
Right.
That's
right.
What she's doing. So is she crazy?
Yeah.
Or is she deceitful?
She's both. You know, she's got a little bit of both. She's a whack job. You know, she's and listen, if her husband ran away, that tells you everything, right? I mean, he just
I forgot about that.
He just packed his things and
I'm
said bye. Bye, and you know he was full of the wild jackass spirit.
Oh,
and he just so
they've never found him.
No, they never found no.
Oh.
See, so
I wonder.
She's a little, she's crazy, but at the same time, like you said, she's a businesswoman, right?
Yeah.
She knows how to market.
Yes.
She knows how to sell. She knows how to rake in the bucks, right? She's doing it.
Yeah.
Listen, it's a money machine for her. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Like you said, they look crazy. They sound crazy. They have this act. But on the inside, they're running circles around the people that follow them.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So,
It's
the hairdresser.
This whole thing's nuts. Yeah.
The whole thing. The whole thing.
She says, you know how worried I've been about my hair. Well, I've never known that. What's
that? That's new to me.
She's
that's
delusional.
New to me. Yes, exactly. No. She's
somewhere else.
But she's got followers. You know, she's got followers.
Oh,
right.
Yes, tons of them. And that's the, you know. That's a sad part about it. It really is. It's a sad part. And, you know, you're going nowhere with her. I mean, could you imagine? She's afraid of everything. Everything's chasing her all the time.
Sure.
Getting a phone call from her
men.
At 3 in the morning.
Except men. Men aren't chasing her. No.
They're running.
They're running. They're running in the opposite direction. No.
Oh, she made me laugh.
Yeah.
I'm getting serious.
And listen,
yeah, well.
When you all you talk about is demons and spirits,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
Oh, the pot roast got burned. Oh, that burning spirit. Oh, that. You know.
I love those impressions.
Yeah,
you do.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
can tell you've been around that stuff.
Oh, let me tell you. Oh, look at this. Look at this. This blouse I put it in the washer and look. It got discolored. That discolored spirit. Oh, that discolored spirit. Yeah, this it's so crazy. It's just crazy.
My favorite story was when you were telling about your grandma and your uncle. You know, somebody broke in. The devil broke in.
Right.
Stole
right.
something. That's
right.
Still one of my favorite stories.
But we were
the
hour before we were in church binding Satan.
Yes,
we were
exactly.
binding the devil. And we left the devil bound up in handcuffs behind bars and we got home and the closet, she had three locks on that closet and those locks were picked and oh the devil. But grandma, shut up. The devil with the grandma, didn't we just tie him up? Where, I mean, what is he, Houdini? What is he? Boy, he's an escape artist. That's it.
You always have that one logical thinker kid, you know?
Yeah.
When I questioned my mother about things, you know, she would say things and I would say something. I was in big trouble all the time. So I would say,
sure.
Well, that doesn't make any sense, you
right.
know, to me. You know, there were certain things. I forget she had a saying about no. If you live through such and such, if you live through the spring, you know, you'll live through the summer. Some stupid thing. I said, so nobody dies in the summer, right?
Right.
She thought about it, you know, and she used to say, well, okay, we'll talk about something else, you know. But she'd
right.
have these sayings, and
mm-hmm.
and they made no sense at all. No sense at all to me. Okay, we've talked about vaccine passports coming our way. Well, they're already here. You know, they're gearing up for that.
Right.
But the Catholic Church got an early start, you know, on this with their congregation. In this clip, we're going to see what happens to non-vaccinated people. Now, this is the Catholic Church. You know, I would say that that's probably... You know, if you want to get infected with something really bad, go to the Catholic Church anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But it is interesting that they are some of the first to segregate people
right.
from vaccinated and non-vaccinated. So it's only a minute and 16 seconds. It's audio 5. Let's just listen to this for a second.
All right.
They have segregated the church. So on one side of the church is fully vaccinated. You can sit on this side. If you're not vaccinated, you have to sit in the other section. It's like Jim Crow laws. This is a Catholic church in Florida, people. You're looking at it on the screen right now. There's two different areas. If you're fully vaccinated, you get to sit on the right side. If you're not, you have to sit on the left. The government is not mandating this. This is priests, clergy taking this into their own hands, and they're policing the lady on their health. I mean, can you imagine a priest? It's just like what happened to you, Deirdre, saying, you can't sit over, we need to see your vaccination, sir. Oh, you can't sit in this part of the church. You have to go sit over with the B team, the non-vax people.
Put you in handcuffs if you don't stand up.
What's this?
Am I getting arrested?
No, not right now. But if you don't listen, you will be.
Wow.
Yeah.
Arrested for what?
Police there.
Arrested
for not
for
being
what?
Vaccinated. Sitting in the wrong seat.
See, that's why people aren't going to go back to church.
Yep.
You're treating me like the scum of the earth? Guess what? You're not going to get a nickel from me. That's it. It's over.
That's right.
Plus,
that's
it'll
right.
You know, my kids won't get molested. Here I am,
yeah,
getting molested by the police, and my kids are getting molested by the priest. Boy, what,
yep.
You know.
Well, you know what they're trying to do? We know they're trying to bring in the vaccine passports. They're coming, you know. That's, you know,
yeah,
you're going to get,
yeah,
that's your ticket. It's never going to be enough, though. I'm going to tell you that right now. But they're bringing that in. But the problem is that, you know, this, the point he was making here, too, is this wasn't government. This is priests themselves.
Right.
The
right.
Church taking it upon themselves to enforce laws that are not even on the books that
mm-hmm.
discriminate. They're just doing
right.
it, and no one's doing anything. Now, I have a few questions. I saw someone post some questions, and they were so interesting. And just for the show, we're going to call the vaccine the jab, okay?
Okay.
That's what they call it
right.
in Europe. Okay, here's a few questions. If you get the jab, can you quit wearing the mask? The government says no.
Right.
You can't, right? Okay, so if you get the jab, will restaurants, bars, schools, fitness clubs, salons open? And will people be able to go back to work like normal? The answer from the government is no. If I get the jab, will I be resilient to COVID? The government answer is maybe. We don't know exactly, but probably not. These are the
right.
current answers.
Mm-hmm.
If I get the jab, at least I won't be contagious to others, right? The government says no. The jab does not stop transmission. So if I get the jab, how long will it last? The government says no one knows. All COVID vaccines are still in the experimental stage. So if I get the jab, can I stop social distancing? The government says no. If my parents, grandparents, and myself get the jab, can we hug one another again? The government says no. So what's the benefit of getting the jab? The government says, we're hoping just the virus won't kill you. That's their answer.
Right.
So you say, are you sure the jab won't injure or kill me? And the government says, no, they're not sure of that.
Right.
So if statistically the virus won't kill me, you know, at a rate of 99.7 survival
mm-hmm.
rate, so you know, that's your survival, why should I get the jab? And the government's answer is to protect others. So if I get the jab, can I protect 100% of the people I come into contact with? And the government says no. Do you see how confusing this is?
Right, right.
So if I get a severe adverse reaction and long-term effects that are still unknown from this, or die from the jab, or I or my family, will I, myself, or my family be compensated from the jab manufacturer or the government? The answer is no. The government says the vaccine manufacturers have zero liability regarding this experimental drug.
Right,
so
right, right.
To summarize the COVID vaccine jab, it does not provide immunity. It does not eliminate the virus, does not prevent death, does not guarantee you won't get it, does not stop you from passing it to others, does not eliminate the need for travel bans, does not eliminate the need for business closures, does not eliminate the need for lockdowns, does not eliminate the need for masks. So, are we still interested in getting this untested, you know,
no.
untested vaccine?
No.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, you know, if people want to, go ahead, but don't worry about us who don't want it. I mean, after all, you're safe, right? The answer is no. You know, it makes no sense. This whole thing makes no sense. And another headline said, despite COVID vaccines moving forward, The CDC director warns of impending doom. So what is the message? It's nothing but confusion.
Right.
You know, I mean, those are logical questions, right? They can't answer any
of them. All of them are logical, and you know that to each one, they don't have an answer because, again, and now remember, these are the experts now. Now, can you imagine if you ask your mechanic, okay, if I change the four tires in this car, do I pass inspection? No. All right, if I change the radiator fluid and change the radiator hoses, will I pass it? No. I mean, can you imagine going to a dentist? Okay, if I pull out this tooth, will the toothache stop? I don't know. What?
Wow.
Can you imagine going? The doctor says, all right, now take this medicine. Now, doctor, if I take this medicine, will it cure me? I don't know. What? This is
really
insane. Insane.
It is.
Pastor, is there
that's
a heaven?
Exactly what they're saying.
Are gays going to heaven? Well, I don't know, Larry. I don't know. Right? I mean, please. This is insanity. Insanity.
I know it is. It is.
Insanity.
It is. Okay. Well, we have the next story. Todd Bentley resurfaces to say all recent allegations against him are fake news.
Oh.
Bentley said only Dr. Michael Brown said he was disqualified for ministry on a temporary basis. But Brown, he says, also said he was supernaturally gifted and could return one day. So Todd took to Facebook to defend himself against charges of wrongdoing. Charges like allegations regarding sexual or marital infidelity, drunkenness, coarse language, hitting on homosexuals, sexting, pornography, offering his wife to other men, and other sinful activities. That's only the start. J.D. Hall writes, like water off a duck's back, Bentley shrugged it off and shortly thereafter resumed the ministry, recently putting on healing conferences and rallies throughout his state, as well as continuing to host his own service. So it's like duck, you know, water off the duck's back with Todd. Todd had admitted some of the things before, remember, he was accused of.
Mm-hmm.
And as for the other allegations, there's police reports, there's jail time. There's victims who have come forward, but Todd has his own spin, and he paints a picture that he himself and his wife are the victims now.
Sure.
So regarding one victim, he made a comment, and this was his comment. He said, she flirted and engaged me. It wasn't predatory. She needs to go to my wife and admit her sin. Amazing, isn't it?
Amazing. Super
isn't
amazing. Super
this
amazing.
This is a real jerk. Yeah. You need to go to my wife and admit that you're the sinner because I had a relationship with you. So if we look at Jude, 1:4 in the NIV, for certain individuals whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into a license for immorality. And when I looked that up, Ro, that the best description of that was the unbridled conduct I saw.
Right.
You know? And it's like, to me, and I thought about that, and I thought, well, you know, would you ever, if you ride a horse without a bridle, it'll take you where they want to go, not where you want to go, you know? And that's it. That's like, you know, not having any control at all.
Right.
So that's unbridled. Ride a horse without a bridle and see where you go. So this is unrestrained or unbridled conduct. That was the best description I saw. And deny Jesus Christ, our sovereign and Lord. Now, to deny there, a lot of people say, well, Todd admits that Jesus, you know, You know, he talks about Jesus all the time, but when I look that up, it's to contradict or reject Jesus Christ. And to me, breaking down, that was great to break that down, you know, to see that, because it makes a lot more sense if you just break it down to what that really looks like, you know, what the exact explanation of that and what it really looks like. And I want to mention something about the scripture, because I thought about that the other day when we were talking about people who were predestined to wrath last week.
Right.
And the predestined or condemnation appears, from what I read, to be a decision already made or a crime. That's what I saw, you know, when I looked at that. So there are some people that I think that are predestined to wrath. I mean, the Bible supports that. Excuse me.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely.
And so when I did a search on that, because, you know, predestination is an iffy, you know, on certain things is iffy, but I see it through Scripture. So, and it says these men, they crept in privately or privily or secretly, which means, you know, that they have no rightful standing in the church to begin with. That's the whole bottom line of this, isn't it, with Bentley? He certainly fits that, because he has no rightful standing in the pulpit or in the church in the first place. But yet he's fighting to do that. And how do you feel about that? Am I correct?
If I was to see Bentley out in the woods, I would say Sasquatch. I would say Bigfoot. That's what I would say. I would tell the police. I would call 911. I just saw a Bigfoot. There's a Bigfoot sighting. That's what I would say. Well, what did he look like? Well, he looked crazy. He had tattoos. He's a nut. You know, that's it. That's a Bigfoot sighting. He has no business being in the church.
No, not at all.
None whatsoever.
That's the bottom line with that, with Bentley, isn't it? I mean, you need to understand that, because people are always saying about Bentley, well, we need to forgive him. We need to, you know, people that defend him, not us, but people that defend him will say, you have to forgive. You're not forgiving. Everybody's sinned and all that. But all these things, let's look at, did he have a right to be there to begin with? No. These people crept in. They snuck in privily. You know, that's secretly.
Right.
They snuck in. So I want to go to, looking at the time, I want to go to audio 7. And I'm going to show you something. This is Charles Barkley, and he nailed something. And go to the second audio down and play that. It's only 1 minute long. And you can't fool Charles. Okay. He knows what's happening in there. It's brilliant.
All right. The second.
Second audio down. You see the commentator.
Okay, I see. All right, there it is. Okay, here it is.
Shared that news, how painful it was.
Yeah, but the one thing I took out of that piece was, man, I think most white people and black people are great people. I really believe that in my heart. But I think our system is set up where our politicians, whether they are Republicans or Democrats, are designed to make us not like each other. So they can keep their grasp of money and power. They divide and conquer. I truly believe in my heart most white people and black people are awesome people. But we're so stupid following our politicians, whether they are Republicans or Democrats. And their only job is, hey, let's make these people not like each other. We don't live in their neighborhoods. We all got money. Let's make the whites and blacks not like each other. Let's make rich people and poor people not like each other. Let's scramble the middle class. I truly believe that in my heart.
Shared that news, how painful it was.
Yeah, but the one thing I took out of that piece.
Yeah, good point.
Did he nail it? Well, the guy tried to lead him into the social justice thing. He wasn't having it.
Sure.
He wasn't having it.
He says, I'm not going to be your regular black that's blaming white people for everything. Because that's what he was expecting.
That's what he was expecting,
yeah.
For black Charles Barkley to blame white people. And Charles Barkley is rich because white people have put together a basketball league. It's called the NBA,
mm-hmm.
right? The NBA,
yep.
When Charles Barkley was playing, all the owners were white.
Mm-hmm.
And those owners signed these basketball players to huge contracts, multi-million dollar contracts. Listen, LeBron James has nothing to complain about when he says the system. What system are you talking about? You're a billionaire because of the system. What are you talking about, the system?
Exactly.
What are you, retarded? What are you, retarded?
Yep.
You couldn't do what
yep.
you're doing in China. China wouldn't let you become
right.
a billionaire.
Yep. But, you know, he saw right through. He said, you know, it's these two things that we have, Democrats, Republicans, and, you know, the system, you know, causing chaos and confusion, basically, pitting people against each other. He knew exactly what was going on, and most people don't see it. He said, you know, they're just pitting people against each other. This is what's really going on. And he sees that. And, you know, he just nailed it. He knew exactly what's happening. He said, I don't see that. This is to, what did he say? Divide and conquer. That's exactly
right.
what it is.
Right.
That's socialism.
Right.
You know, that's Marxism. And he saw right through that. I thought it was a brilliant clip. I say he did
Absolutely.
A good job on that because he
yeah,
wasn't
and,
going
and
there.
I like the, and I like the fact that here's a black man who is saying, I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid and I'm not serving the
yep.
Kool-Aid.
Exactly.
That's
he
it.
Put his foot down.
He said white people and black people are nice people. And for
yeah.
the most part,
people
they
are.
Right? They're,
yeah.
they're good people.
Yep.
They're good people.
Yeah.
They're good people.
Yeah.
All right.
It's called the human race.
That's it. That's it. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. I got time for one more story, I think. So I'm going to pick the smaller story, and we'll save the other ones for next week, okay?
Okay.
Is that okay with you?
That's
okay.
fine.
Do you remember we're going to end on a Krispy Kreme note? Now, you don't like the Krispy Kreme?
I've heard the Krispy Kreme donuts spoken about a lot, but I would
yep.
I never had access. It's like Chick-fil-A. I hear people talking about, oh, Chick-fil-A is so wonderful, but we don't have a Chick-fil-A
yeah.
here.
Yeah, we don't either.
And we ate Chick-fil-A when Sister Kimberly died and we went to Boston. That's the first time
uh-huh.
and the last time we had Chick-fil-A, and I can't remember what it tastes like. It was so long ago.
Wow. Wow.
So,
well, remember I told you that the Krispy Kreme was offering free donuts for a year if you
right.
present a vaccination card to them. That's every day
Correct.
For a year. You can
right.
go in
right.
and get one. Now, people who are overweight are considered super spreaders by the health organization because
oh, really?
The extra weight has caused other conditions. So, get this. This is how crazy this is. They shut the gyms down. They lock people up in their homes. They offer them fast food because they close the restaurants, right? Now the people, now they're blaming the people for overburdening the hospital and their current health conditions. And they say that these people are making COVID worse. Because of all these new conditions now, because they're super spreaders, are
oh.
overweight super spreaders.
That's another reason why
problem,
I can't go outside. There's another reason why I can't go outside and do anything. I'm a super spreader.
You're not
Honey,
fat.
can you take care of the recyclables? Oh, no. I'm a super spreader. I can't go outside, no.
Honey,
can you
cut
the grass?
You're always looking for an excuse.
No, I can't cut the grass. I'm a super spreader. Honey, can you rake the leaves? Oh, no, I'm a super spreader. I can't do that either.
You know, you use these shows to make excuses, don't you?
Oh, let me tell you. Yeah. I mean, the next time my wife has a bad hair day, I say, oh, you have the bad hair spirit. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, the bad hair spirit.
He's going to kill me for this. Okay. Well, so, you know, at the end of the day, it's always the people who are the problem, according to them.
Yeah.
And if you look at it, like our own governor here, she blames the reported, air quote, rise in COVID C to people not following rules, when in fact it was her own response to a pandemic that created the problem. So
right.
it's a game going on of blame and shame now. You know,
sure.
Everything's set up to make you the bad guy.
Right.
And I just want you to know that all the trillions that these states receive is going to help build the new green infrastructures that they want. All these new high-tech solar
right.
buildings, all the millions that are going into the state is for that. And what will that do? That will limit, that's going to limit your ability to work because you have to be a specialist, you know, in this
mm-hmm.
new world coming here to build anything. And it will limit your ability to provide for your family. So they have a solution for that too. They'll decide how much money you make, you know,
sure.
in return, you follow what they say, freedom.
Yep.
equals
yep.
obedience, but it's
right.
not freedom unless you're free, and you're not. It's controlled freedom. So that's it. That's all I can say. It's, you know, it's a crazy world, and guess what? You know, we're in it, and hey, it's going to go where it's going to go. That's it. So I hope the stories weren't crazy today, too crazy for you. We had a lot of news. There was more news than I had time to type up. I'm going to be honest. Are you still there? Oh, we may have lost our brother. Yeah, well, if I've lost our brother, we'll just continue to talk and see if he comes back on for the last few minutes. If not, well, we're not going to have any music at the end because he provides the music, too. So there's a lot of things going on. I mean, we just need to trust the Lord, trust in him, just keep obedient, stay in his word, and, you know, just pray. That's all we can do about this is pray and trust him. I hope you all have a great day. And if he comes back, I'll be off the air. Have a great week, and we'll have more news next week. Have a great day. Bye.
What happened? Hello? Hello?